Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Today I titled Jonathan Live AM from Los Angeles, California. You're going to have to lower me in the monitor a little bit. Jonathan Live AM from Los Angeles, California. I'll let you get it figured out. Good? Good. Jonathan, a little more, not that much. Just some meat. All right, good. I'm good. Jonathan Live from Los Angeles, California. That way I can talk about whatever I want, and that's exactly what I intend on doing today. I am preaching every night this week. Too much. It's echoing again. Give it a little testaroo before we go on air tomorrow and the next days. If you would, come and see me, Los Angeles, California. I'm preaching every night. Now, as I speak, probably somebody's going to come in the comments and say, just preach the gospel. You know, I've been trying to do that as much as I can. I've been doing twice a day. Maybe I'll see if I can do five or whatever you people want from me. And you can just watch me pass away live on stage as I do my seventh service of the afternoon or whatever. But I am preaching the gospel, April 14th to the 19th, 7 o'clock, Sheraton Gateway, Los Angeles, revivaltoday.com events if you'd like to register. And I have been preaching and praying for everybody every night because it's not every day I'm in California. And I would love to, I'd love to minister the gospel to you. And if you would be at this meeting, it would mean a lot to me. We love all of our Revival Today family in Los Angeles. We love the people of Los Angeles and we believe God has great things for California. I'm going to show you what the Lord did last night, give you a chance to share the broadcast as we have a great day together. I know your time's valuable. But as it did yesterday, today is going to really bless you. So share the broadcast. If you're on X, you can repost it. And let's see how many people we can get into this thing today. Here's what God did last night.
God doesn't teach through sickness and tragedy. Every lesson God wants to teach you, He has in His Word for you. I have an expectation tonight that whatever's gone wrong in your life, this week is going to be a shower of blessing from heaven to turn everything around for your good in Jesus' name. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I tell you in the name of Jesus, you're not only coming out of your problem tonight, you're going to have the best year that you've ever had. These remaining 9 months of 2024, God's going to pour out showers of blessing on you and your children in Jesus' mighty name. So let's rejoice and celebrate ahead of time.
Awesome. And it'll be more awesome with you there. So that's tonight. This is where I'm at right now. The seats are behind me. The Sheraton Gateway LAX. Yeah, right across from Los Angeles International Airport. And I'm looking forward to seeing you. California, this state has healed me. I feel the best I've ever felt. The weather's wonderful. People on the East Coast say, how can anybody, they watch the news and say, how can anybody live in California? I'm telling you, if you came here for 12 hours, you would understand. How do people put up with this communist government? Very easily. If Mao came back from the dead and became the governor of California, I would happily put on a red t-shirt with a golden sickle and hammer and go about my day. California is a great state and it's going to get even better. God's going to touch this state. So what I'm going to do today is a little check the news Bible teaching amalgam because I'm just waking up kind of. I mean, I've been up since 7 o'clock this time, but I haven't had a chance to plastic straw. Yes, Lisa Barna. Abraham was able to get this. You don't know what town the Dunkin' Donuts was in, do you? See, what people don't know about Southern California, if you go up the road a little bit to Huntington Beach, I think, unless it changed recently, all 9 members of the city council are like strong Republicans. They've had Trump do a rally there. They banned masks during COVID in Huntington Beach. That's just a little drive away. So like whatever state you live in, you know, St. Louis is not Missouri. Philadelphia is not Pennsylvania. So the city, L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, yeah, there's bad spots, but then you drive a little bit and it's like how normal Americans are. that aren't really interested in burning the city down. So anyway, that was a very long, rambling response to asking if I have a plastic straw. I don't know how, I'll tell you, you might be a little hyper-focused on politics when somebody asks you, are you using a plastic straw? And you get into a socio-political lecture about the demographics of the country, yet here we are. Okay, glad you're on today. I'm going to send in some news stories. I haven't had a chance to really check any of these. I don't know why, but I kind of lost interest. Good to see you, Bobby. Good to see you, Lucy and Richard on the app. I kind of have lost interest. I don't know permanently. Maybe it's because I'm preaching twice a day. But I want to be careful how I speak. I've somewhat lost interest in the presidential race. I'm very disappointed. I don't know how to say it. It's not like a hurt disappointment. It's like an I don't care disappointment, which is actually the worst kind. That's like when people get divorced. It's actually good if you have a fight and throw plates around and stuff because it shows people care. When it's a problem is when there's a fight. No, I'm not advocating that, but I'm saying that kind of fighting is better than if your husband or your wife lays into you as a husband and the husband just nods his head and changes the channel, you're getting divorced. So I kind of, it's not like I hate, I don't care, because tell me why I should in any way put my ministry on the line to defend the Republican Party or back the Republican Party. I can't think of, I don't know if I can think of any reasons. You fund every single thing that the Democrats want funded. So I'm supposed to host events at my church and aid in collecting ballots. I don't know. I don't know. So obviously, I got to be careful what I say. Obviously, Biden is an awful candidate. But when you're not even in power yet, and you're walking back your positions on abortion to get more in line with where the Democrats want you to be. I mean, we go from Mike Johnson being the God-sent Speaker of the House to they're introducing articles to clear him out now. So, because he caved on every single thing. And you know, credit to the Democrat Party. They never cave on anything. Ever. They all vote together. They have their agenda. They will never give the Republicans one vote. And the FISA thing, for 86 Republicans to vote for there to be warrantless searches on U.S. citizens, what is the point of there being a Republican Party? I mean, can you honestly say they're defending you? Or, you know, you got these evil liberals. Thank God for the Republican Party standing in the way. They don't stand in the way. They do a bunch of interviews, they go on a bunch of talk shows, and then eventually just vote exactly as if you had elected a Democrat. I mean, are you really going to get, like if you're from Pennsylvania like me and you're a Republican, are you going to get all bent out of shape that Fetterman beat Dr. Oz? Do you think Dr. Oz, I think Fetterman at this point would have voted more conservatively than Dr. Oz would have if he won. Somebody said, however, we will vote because too many Americans died in order to give us the right to vote. Their sacrifice is not in vain. In a way, their sacrifice is in vain if you're voting between two heads on the same snake. So, yeah, thank God. I'm not telling people not to vote or whatever, but I'm not saying I'm not going to vote. I'm just saying I'm definitely not going to get wrapped up from today through November in like Senate races, because ultimately, what difference does it make? The Republicans deserve to have their legs kicked out from under them. They deserve to have what happened to the Democrats. What happened to the Democrats with black voters in 2016, where they so didn't like Hillary Clinton that everybody stayed home and didn't vote. The Republicans deserve that. They deserve to have a wake-up call that, like, no Christians are voting for them. Now, Trump is an outlier because he's not a Republican. The Republicans hate Trump. They don't say that as long as if he's winning in the polls, they back him, but they don't like him. So sorry for the defeatist. I'm just telling you how I'm thinking, and I'm searching for a way to change my mind. But that's why I focused on preaching. I feel like the good that's going to come in the country is going to come from revival. So I'm focusing on that. We'll still have Check the News going. Magos is doing that. It's good to know what's going on because you deal with that on a daily basis and have to talk about it. But I'm just opening up to you in this empty room about how I feel. So anyway, having said that, let's see what's going on in the world.
All right, everyone, it's time to praise Donald Trump for a foreign policy success meted out years after he was no longer in office, namely the Abraham Accords. Yes, you remember the semi-normalization of relations throughout the Middle East with Israel under the Abraham Accords? And John Bolton was spinning around in circles, and John McCain spinning in his grave, actually, because, oh my God, a little bit more stability broke out in the Middle East. Where are we going to test all of our toys? It's a big problem. Sort of like they hated the rapprochement with North Korea, and for some reason berated Donald Trump for saluting a general there, even though that's customary and proper. It was a very interesting time, and the TDS was flowing. The Abraham Accords have been a success. Iran just attacked Israel the other day. They launched hundreds of missiles and drone strikes on Israel. 99% of them were just knocked right out of the sky. I mean, they were swept aside with almost no effort whatsoever, showing a fairly beefy military response. But it wasn't just Israel doing that. Iron Dome was co-developed with the United States. Trump, by the way, wants a similar system for the U.S. I'm not sure exactly how pragmatic that is, unless you're just putting it above big cities. And if there is like a major conflict, it's the cities that you want destroyed because, you know, cities suck anyway. It's the countryside you'd want to defend. Put it up over the small organic farms, over Amish country or something like that, if they'll have them. An Iron Dome helped. But there were also sorties flown by the U.S. and the U.K., and also in cooperation with other nations, Saudi Arabia. The Jordanians sent up a few planes, actually, to help out because of the strikes. It shows a solidification of Western influence in an area that has been real iffy in the political sphere, generally speaking. So with relatively good relations with Egypt, and with Turkey in NATO, and with the cooperation of the Saudis, etc., and then the Saudis, partially it's self-serving in their capacity because they have to deal with the Yemeni Houthis. It's become a big problem,
pause
especially
real quick,
for shipping.
I just would caution Sticks and Hammer not to sink all of your revenue into studio, because it's important. The content is the main thing people want. They're not going to get fooled by a bunch of bright lights and smoke and mirrors. Anyway, continue.
And the Saudis love to ship lots of oil. They also have a problem with Iran organically. Of course, they're competing.
You know, for a guy named Sticks and Hammer 666, it's interesting that you do your broadcasting from an Assemblies of God church nursery. Continue.
Eating major powers within the region. But with that level of cooperation, it's something that you wouldn't have seen like 10 years ago. It's something that would have been, with the data sharing between the military apparatuses of these nations and with the US, UK, etc., that are part of this general accord, this general net of nations, it allows for much greater coordination. We probably couldn't have pulled it off 10 years ago. Iron Dome still would have been able to pull it off, but you would have seen damage. You would have seen casualties. Trump, ironically, with the striking of the Abraham Accords that he pushed so heavily, and even got praised by liberal commentators when he got it passed through, Trump may have stopped World War III. Again, I mean, he stopped it the first time by beating Hillary Clinton, because we've seen what her foreign policy would mean, and trust me, she would have started a major war. She would have done it just to prove that she's got the toys that make the noise and she's the big boss lady in the room. She would have done it entirely for aesthetic purposes. Well, these guys think that they can kill, let's see what a vagina can do. Yeah, I can be a little bit deadly.
Pause back, you know? Guys, when I texted to edit out any gross language out of the broadcast, I would, in the future, the old V word, the C word, the other C word, anything like that that makes people a little, even makes me uncomfortable. Continue.
Just ask those Trojans. But anyway, she would have done that. So he stopped that. That's World War III 1.0. Now 2.0 is the Abraham Accords staving off any real legitimate damage to Israel from the Iranian attack. Israel gets to praise itself, say, yeah, look, people, see how great Iron Dome is. Iran. So that can smooth things over. Netanyahu, if there had been a bunch of casualties and damage, Israel would have been forced into a very quick response against Iran. They wouldn't be able to sit down and talk about it. They would have had to scramble the fighters.
Lemonade Live with Lady Lemon and friends. I'd love to see your lemon-themed program. What time are you on? Put it in the chat. I might pull it up and play it today and just watch it live. Lemonade Live with Lady Lemon and friends. I would love to see your lemon-themed broadcast. A great chat would be between Jonathan and Styx, and it's signed Lemon with a smiley face. Well, my lemon-obsessed friend, I would love, guys, in fact, let's take the advice of our lemon crusader, and let's see if we can get Styx and Hammer as a live guest in studio. That'd be great. And just to make him feel comfortable, I won't even wear a shirt. Continue.
...and go apeshit. It would have caused a major regional conflict. With the Abraham Accords in place, Iran's strike can be seen as largely symbolic. Little bit of infrastructure damage again. I don't know that there was a single casualty. Hundreds of missiles and rockets failed to penetrate the air and anti-missile defenses in that area. No casualties, so no grieving families to worry about, no protests in the street if you don't do anything. Netanyahu does have to respond,
you got it, Lisa.
But it can be a token response. There's a way out,
in
other words. There would not have been a way out 10 years ago. It would have been a significant war,
loosely
possibly
tied.
The dawn of World War III. Donald Trump may have saved all our ass again, and he's not even in office anymore. So
pause back
yeah.
So you guys muted ASS, but left in. Okay, I guess we just find different language offensive. Continue.
There's one for him. That's about all.
Peace out. All right, good job, Styx and Hammer. One of the best accounts on YouTube for objective analysis. What do we got next? Trump. Okay, so it came out yesterday that Speaker Johnson met with Trump and voted for the FISA warrants because Trump told him to. But Emerald Robinson, who I trust, Trump told Speaker Johnson to kill FISA, and Johnson did the opposite. That's it. It's over. He's got to go. It's time to vacate the chair. America won't be saved if Johnson is allowed to sabotage Trump, which he's doing right now. So I agree. I'm done with that guy. And his glued on hair. Next. Every time he steps into another courtroom, Americans know he's stepping into a fight for us. So Trump having his criminal trial for the quote unquote hush money that was paid to that blonde haired lady. Roll it.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case. And they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Donald Trump, I mean, you know the stress of going through one lawsuit. Imagine having, what does he have, 200 and some that are against him? I mean, the fact that guy's alive is a miracle. Next.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Red Eagle Politics. Make sure you guys like this video down below and subscribe to the channel if you are new. So apparently, according to YouTube, this is my 1,000th video. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought I would share that. It really doesn't mean a whole lot, but it is interesting that that's a milestone being crossed. But Nevertheless, we have to talk about the state of the race. We have to give an update about the 2024 election because there's been a few shakeups this week and we've covered that. We covered Donald Trump's stance on the issue of abortion and Biden's campaign really struggling to really try and tie him to some of these like state bans in an attempt to try and drum up some enthusiasm among his base. And we're going to be talking about why it's not really working for Biden. And the polls do show a very tight race nationally. That is true. It's important to note that Trump usually outperforms polling. It's important to note that Donald Trump never led the popular vote except for like 5 days in both the 2016 and 2020 election cycles.
But can you put the screen back up where it was?
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Pennsylvania.
No, back a little. The opening screen. I just noticed that this day in history, April 12th. So Biden right now on the Real Clear polling average is down 0.2%, which is no big deal, right? April 12th, where he barely squeaked out the election, he was up 6. So it is a big deal because like he's saying, this is Real Clear Politics. No, this is Red Eagle Politics, if you want to follow him on YouTube. Trump outperforms polling and Biden underperforms polling, usually. Clinton was plus 10. Hillary. When Trump won in 2016, Clinton was beating him by 10 points and lost. So the fact that Trump's even leading at all in the polling, he doesn't even have to win historically. Continue.
Very tight race nationally. That is true. It's important to note that Trump usually outperforms polling. It's important to note that Donald Trump never won the election, but his numbers have risen because Biden has been so awful. He has nothing to run on. He has nothing to run on. And that is why he's trying to milk the abortion thing so much, because he has no other possible issue that he can really run on. And you want to look at this right here. We found this poll, and we're probably going to get more polling on this topic next week when the new round of polls get released. But still, look at this. When it comes down to how people view this issue, Trump saying, leave it up to the states, that's not exactly a third rail. He's avoiding a national ban, which some people are upset with. I understand why they're upset with it, but it is electoral suicide. If Donald Trump comes out in favor of a national ban, you're going to see him lose. The border's going to be wide open. Republicans are probably never going to win an election ever again if you give amnesty to a lot of these people. Roe v. Wade gets codified. The courts get stacked.
This is what a lot of Christian leaders don't understand. And I know you're probably going to be surprised to hear me say this. Politics is not ministry. It's politics. So if you're a preacher like me, you stand on the Bible and don't bend. If you have to lead a country, there are differences. There's gay people who live in the country. You're not looking to turn the country into Christianistan, where you kill infidels and blasphemers. You're not looking to turn it into a Christian version of Pakistan. So because Trump won't go hardcore that all abortion should be illegal, which if he does that, he will lose the election. If you want a national abortion ban, you're going to lose the election. So Christian leaders apparently would rather somebody give speeches all the time about how they're going to do something about abortion and never do it. So Mitt Romney gets a pass, every Republican candidate through that said, you know, I'm not for abortion. If you get us elected, they came to your church on Sunday during the election year. If you vote us, we're going to finally do away with Roe versus Wade, and never did it. Voted to fund it. Trump puts the Supreme Court justices in that overturn Roe versus Wade. And because he's not going to get up wisely, is not going to get up and hammer abortion. The one thing, the only thing that Biden can win the election on is abortion. So Trump's soft pedaling it because it's the right move politically. He's not for it. His actions proved it. So what do you want? He's not a pastor. He's not to get up and preach about abortion. He says it needs to be states' rights. And they're trying to portray him that he's going to turn, if you're a woman, he's going to turn America into Iran if you vote for him. And there's a lot of women voters. In my opinion, there should be no women voters. They should have never given them the right to vote. That's, if you study it historically, that's when the country went downhill. So you're free to clip this and play it. I'm right. Because if you look how elections would turn out, if you just baked and folded laundry and stuff like that, the country would be in better shape. Anyway, I'm not going to die on that hill. We love women. Your voting decisions are atrocious. But anyway, that being so, he's not going to foolishly lose the election on that issue. So Christians can't see that. You know, it's like somebody just wrote in the comments that Trump needs prayer warriors. No, if he wants to win an election, he actually needs an election ground game. Christians want to substitute prayer for things where there's no prayer. That's why we get calls from people. I'm having money problems. I need a breakthrough. You don't need a breakthrough. You need a job. And you need a job that pays more money than you spend every month. That's not a prayer thing. So anyway, we love you ladies. If you'd like to share the broadcast and just get fired from work, it would be great. And continue, my political friend.
You don't want to sit this one out. I do tell people that whether they think some of Trump's rhetoric is a little weak or whatever, if you are pro-life and you want to see abortion ended, Donald Trump is the only option to vote for this November. But still, 39% of people in this poll.
The other thing you have to remember is it's Trump against Biden. So when people say, you know, like when Trump took a soft stance on abortion, you had Christian leaders say, I'm not voting for him. All right. Who's the other candidate? It's not like Trump took a soft stance on abortion with his words, and then the other person he's running against is crying their eyes out at night that children are being butchered at Planned Parenthood. You have Joe Biden as the alternative. So even if Trump came out in support of abortion, then the issue cancels out, and then it just goes to border if you're a thinking person. And that's what my friend at Red Eagle Politics is saying. Continue.
Believe it should be left up to the states. Only 45% say it should be decided nationally. And it's interesting to see how the numbers have moved, but Donald Trump's position is a pretty middle ground. And he can go on offense on late-term abortion against Biden. If anything, win on that. You know, he's kind of distancing himself from some of these state bans. And if your only issue that you're running on is, I'm going to tie Trump to this issue, I'm going to lie about Trump's position on it, you're back into a corner.
Back to me real quick again.
It's a risky strategy.
Think of this too. If Trump was given a speech in Michigan and said that if Biden is elected, talking about the automotive industry in America, that if Trump's elected, the automotive industry will be a bloodbath. And they clipped it and said that Trump is calling for, if Biden wins the election, for there to be a bloodbath, for his supporters to kill Biden supporters. That's what they reported for 2 days in the news. Complete lie. If Trump makes any kind of speech right now, backing, banning abortion or whatever, they'll clip it. They'll clip it like he's going to introduce Sharia law against women, which, again, I'm not totally opposed to, but, it'll lose him the election. So it's wise for him not to talk about it. Continue.
Hail Mary strategy. And it's not exactly something that I believe is going to work out well for Joe Biden. Is it the best thing he can do? Maybe. But at the end of the day, it's really just indicative of how tough of a spot he's in. You look at the economy.
Pause. Faith Shropshire has entered the chat. I just want to be clear. I'm not against all women not being able to vote. Just Faith Shropshire. I feel like you can trace the downfall of the country. When were you born, Faith? 84? Like, if you track it from the time Faith was born till now is when things have gone bad. I think Reagan was in office when Faith was born. It's almost like Faith is like a judgment against America in a way, like her birth. Anyway, continue.
He's down by 18 points on the economy. He's trying to say the economy's getting better. You see inflation rising again. Wages were flat last month. Gas prices are going up. And this is not a good look for Joe Biden and the economy. It's true. Pause. Donald Trump is somebody when people think of...
Faith Shropshire just responded, I'm a very good voter. with four exclamation points. Yes, but you're not a very good writer. Continue.
Donald Trump, and they think of his presidency, the one thing that even a lot of people who did not support him but had five brain cells could indicate is he was really good on the economy. And if COVID never happened, he would have won the election very easily, even though some of the polls showed him down at the time. When crunch time kicked in, the economy would have bailed Trump out and then some. And that we know. Foreign policy, foreign affairs are a complete mess. And we have all these conflicts that probably so would not be happening right now if Trump was in office. It's a very good pitch for Trump. And so far, Biden's right, down by 23 points on foreign.
I can't keep this screen up. I feel like I'm watching like MS-DOS. I'm in my computer class from eighth grade. And again, we love you, Red Eagle Politics. Thanks for the content. You can follow him at Red Eagle Politics. Can you guys find me the clip on YouTube where Norm MacDonald was doing Weekend Update? And he says, a new poll says more women would be more apt to vote if polls were open later. There's like two other things. And the punchline is women also said they would be more apt to vote if they were permitted to bake their vote. And then the crowd's just like, you know, he's in Manhattan. They're like angry. And then he just sits there for seconds and absorbs the hatred. If you guys can find that, women would be more, the Women's Vote Project, he says in his Canadian accent. If you can find that before the end, it'll just put a nice bow on this. Next. Hundreds of illegal migrants are gathering outside of New York City Hall. Most of the crowd is military age African men. Roll it.
What is going on here?
Posh? Just to give you some context, the reason these people are out and they're rioting, there's like a little riot brewing, is because today's the day they're moving all of the migrants out of luxury hotels to shelters, and they're livid. Like, they thought they were going to get to stay at the Park Hotel in Manhattan, like, perpetually, and it turns out it was only temporary housing. So I'm sorry that you, after having to leave your beautiful home in Port-au-Prince, you know, have to stay at a shelter. But our hearts, thoughts, and prayers go out to all these victims. Anyway, play it from the beginning.
What is going on here? What is really going on here? What's going on here? What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing over there?
Let's play from the beginning and let's count how many women and children there are. Because remember, this is all about families looking for a better life, right? It's definitely not all military age men. From the beginning.
What is going on here?
There's some. There's an empty stroller. There's a lady. There's a lady. Two ladies. Empty stroller.
What's going on here? What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing over here? Why are you guys in line here? What the fuck is going on?
So, there's about as many women as have ever been in the bedroom of the Moldovan male sword swallower. Next to none. Next, Tom Massey, breaking, said in a closed House Republican meeting that he's going to co-sponsor the motion to vacate, per several sources in the room. So it looks like the end of the road for Speaker Johnson. Now, look at this. As much as I'll be fine with Speaker Johnson getting vacated, because he's a nothing, why is it the Republicans have now removed two of their own speakers, but have never been able to remove one Democrat from anything? And I'm not, that's right, Ashley. And I don't want them to impeach Biden or anything. Like, you have the weakest possible candidate for Trump to run against. Why would you want to take him out now? You had three and a half years to do it. But why is it the Republicans can only turn on each other and they never oppose Democrats ever? Next. Lisa Barna is on fire today. Any single guys in this line? I'm looking for a husband. I don't know that a lot of those guys are marriage material. Many of, there's a few that are like, assault and murder material. But I don't know if they're really like husband material, but you can go check it out. I won't stop you. Next. This is interesting. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated mid-April 1865, and hardly anyone mentioned it this week. In September 1920, a bomb was detonated on Wall Street and killed 40 people. See, this is when you have this view that America was once this like amazing place where nothing went wrong. It was just a little house on the prairie. 1920, a bomb on Wall Street killed 40 people. Five congressmen were wounded in a mass shooting at the Capitol in 1954. Did you know that? I didn't know that. And so he adds at the end, our friend Yossi Gestetner, who may have been the first person we ever featured on Check the News, I believe. No one is going to talk about the selfie stick rally of January 6th forever. So he's right. If those tragedies, I mean, true, that's pretty amazing that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated and you don't even hear it brought up. Next. Welcome to the United States. Again, going back to the opening days of Check the News. Savannah Hernandez, when I took my trip with my family, kept it rolling and did the week for me. I'll be forever grateful. Welcome to the United States, where our city parks are being overrun by illegal immigrant men. The city of New York is set to spend $12 billion through 2025 to take care of these men. Roll it.
All right, guys, this is Savannah Hernandez in front of City Hall in New York. And as you guys can see, I am surrounded right now by hundreds of illegal immigrants from New Guinea and also from Haiti. All right, so majority single men from Africa. And I want to take you guys.
If you've ever seen New Guinea, I'd hate to see Old Guinea. Go ahead, play from the beginning.
All right, guys, this is Savannah Hernandez in front of City Hall in New York. And as you guys can see, I am surrounded right now by hundreds of illegal immigrants from New Guinea and also from Haiti. All right, so majority single men from Africa. And I want to take you guys around what this park looks like, and more importantly, what every single park in New York is starting to look like. Just yesterday, I was in the East Village area, and there were two children's parks right next to a church that the city is currently using to house single males. So children are playing right next to this. More importantly, the city of New York has spent $2 billion at this point on this crisis. They said that through 2025, they're going to try to spend $12 billion because
She doesn't exaggerate. She's arguably the best reporter there is in the country. And for her to say all the parks are starting to look like that, now you see why Governor Abbott did what he did, because nobody cared about what was happening in Texas and Arizona. Oh, yeah, that's your problem. So they said, you know what? We're going to bust them up to where all the liberals are at, New York and Boston and Chicago. You think it's no big deal? And they've only been doing that for a few months, and they can't handle it. The mayors and governors are having to reverse their policies. Immigrants, stay home. Don't come here. You know, that's what we were saying. That's the problem with liberal ideals. They sound good in a classroom. Like, it sounds good. We should let everybody come here that needs help. That sounds great. We should give out free healthcare. We should give them free homes. We should give free food out to them. That all sounds very nice. But in reality and in practicality, it'll cripple a place. Continue.
Take to sustain all of these people. Now, typically you'd be able to speak to these migrants in Spanish, but unfortunately all these people now speak French. We have been told as American citizens that all of these people are coming into our country because they are seeking asylum.
Pause.
Every single migrant that I've...
Back to me. Now, call it conspiracy theory, whatever you want. It's a fact. You heard her. Everybody speaks French because New Guinea is French-speaking. Haiti... There's no walking path from New Guinea to America. There's no walking path from Haiti to America. So this is an organized effort to overrun the United States with impoverished people and collapse the country. And there's more to it than that. But if you're of the idiot opinion that these are families in Mexico and Nicaragua that are just walking up 1,100 miles because they need a better life, then you have some splaining to do that everybody speaks French. Back it up 20 seconds and roll it.
because that's what it's going to take to sustain all of these people. Now, typically you'd be able to speak to these migrants in Spanish, but unfortunately all of these people now speak French. We have been told as American citizens that all of these people are coming into our country because they are seeking asylum, but every single migrant that I've spoken to today has talked about how they are here simply to work. So I want to highlight for you guys what our American cities are starting to look like.
Great job, Savannah Hernandez, as usual. And thanks for helping me out back in the early days. Next. Okay. Is this the last piece of media? Then what? Let's do Norm first.
According to a new survey by the Women's Vote Project, women would be more likely to vote if they could send in ballots by mail or if polls were open longer. Also, more women would vote if you were permitted to bake your vote.
They like to bake.
I was watching Norm MacDonald's head writer this morning. He was in an interview with Conan O'Brien. And he said when they would write a joke like that, and he'd see it, they'd say, now, we know, like the production people would say, if you tell this joke, no one's going to laugh. And he would choose those jokes all the time. He, like, enjoyed it. So knowing that, I'm going to have him play it again. And, you know, he was fired. Norm MacDonald was fired from Weekend Update for not by Saturday Night Live. They flew him to Los Angeles, and the vice president of NBC fired him from doing the news updates. That's how that, even in the 90s, that's how offensive his jokes were. So here's his women voting joke. Go ahead.
According to a new survey by the Women's Vote Project, women would be more likely to vote if they could send in ballots by mail or if polls were open longer. Also, more women would vote if you were permitted to bake your vote.
They like to bake.
Nothing. Well, I'm going to get into something here. Before I close out, I won't keep you on as long as I did yesterday. Did we find out if Lemonade Live with Lady Lemon and Friends has a program? Because I'm down to watch it. Lemonade, one word, Lemon, A-I-D-E, Live with Lady Lemon and Friends. That I'm intrigued by the name. There's so many ways you could go with it. You could wear a giant lemon costume with like leggings. Like green leggings, a lemon costume, and then your head out the top. And then interview people in a lemon-themed set. I'd be interested to see which way you went with it. Anyway, I've noticed, and you're free to log off, but I want to deal with something a little serious. I've noticed, obviously, as most of you have, that there's an attempt to get people to hate money and enjoy their poverty. I don't mean in church. I mean with the government. Punish producers. Punish business owners. Make it difficult to build. Make it difficult to do anything that produces money. And as we saw with that clip of those migrants, make it very easy to not do anything. Yeah, let me do that. Somebody said, can't wait for tonight. I know we played it at the beginning. Let me play this real quick before I teach you a little something out of the Bible. I want to show you something I wrote in my book as well and get it in your hand if you're interested. I'm going to be tonight in Los Angeles, California, where I'm at right now, at the Sheraton Gateway LAX. Thank you, Randy. I would love for you to join us. Now, I found out last night, I'm sure it was an oversight, We never charge for parking or tickets at our meetings. And then if it's unavoidable, or if there is paid parking, like if you go preach in New York City or Los Angeles, like here, it's $25 to park. Well, that's not sustainable for people, and lost people aren't going to pay $25 to go hear about Jesus. So what we do is we make a deal with the hotel to pay for that. So everybody's parking is comped, as they say in the casino world. That got oversighted. I had no idea people were having to pay for parking, but starting tonight through the rest of the week, nobody will have to pay for parking. I'm going to give some books away and stuff as a way of saying, I'm sorry, genuinely sorry. I had no idea that was going on. So if that was a determining factor in not being able to come to the meeting and you wanted to volunteer, but you don't have $150 with parking, let alone the extra gas money and all that, I have the parking part taken care of. So if you could help me get the word on that and promote it, These meetings are on the heels of the meetings we did in January that were great, impactful meetings. It's been awesome this week, and it's going to get better tonight through Friday. So here's what's going on in L.A. I would love for you to join us tonight at 7 o'clock. Here's the recap from last night.
God doesn't teach through sickness and tragedy. Every lesson God wants to teach you, He has in His Word for you. I have an expectation tonight that whatever's gone wrong in your life, this week is going to be a shower of blessing from heaven to turn everything around for your good in Jesus' name. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I tell you in the name of Jesus, you're not only coming out of your problem tonight, you're going to have the best year that you've ever had. These remaining 9 months of 2024, God's going to pour out showers of blessing on you and your children in Jesus' mighty name. So let's rejoice and celebrate ahead of time.
Awesome. So I'll see you tonight. Now, I want to deal with this. Put Michael Brown's tweet up. This was posted publicly. Try to not be an emotional train wreck and say, why don't you like Michael Brown? He's a good guy. I'm not a woman. I'm not an emotionally unstable teenager. So you can actually like discuss issues without it being a personal attack. This is not an attack against Dr. Michael Brown, but this was posted. And so if something's posted publicly, it's not wrong to deal with it publicly. If we teach people to give in order to get, we are catering to carnality and preaching a dangerous, unbiblical message. Bring it back to me. Is that true? Is it unbiblical to tell people that if you give, you'll get? I would say, and it's not like you have to find one scripture. You're going to be hard-pressed to find anywhere in the Bible where God talked to people about giving without talking to them about their receiving, their personal receiving. So what I started to say is I've noticed that there's a communist-type thing being introduced to the country to get people to hate money. Try to tip somebody. I gave a lady at the grocery store, an older woman who was checking me out at the cash register, I gave her $20 as a tip. I can't take that. No, you can take it. And she said, no, I can't. No, you're allowed to. She said, so I left it. She followed me out to the parking lot to give it back. I can't take money. No, you can't. So I said, give it to Lost and Found. I'm not taking it back. She said, and she kept trying to give it to me. I said, you must have me confused with someone else. I never gave you $20 and I just left. You can't tip anybody. There's like, they're trying to get people to hate money and introduce a concept and turn Americans into losers that don't produce wealth, don't start businesses, because it's easier to just go. They want people in the streets looking for free housing. That's how you collapse a nation. I know decisions have been made at a higher level. We will never allow another Elon Musk. We cannot allow private people to rise up into wealth and shipwreck what we've tried to do for 30 years. That's what Musk did. If he didn't buy Twitter, there would be nowhere for me to broadcast this right now. Facebook would shut it down. YouTube would shut it down. And then him buying this gives people what Savannah Hernandez just covered. She couldn't have posted that video anywhere. She was taken off of X for posting stuff like that. They would have never allowed this stuff to go in an election year, and it got screwed up by somebody that rose up in wealth. Donald Trump rose up in wealth. I know they mock him. Donald Trump's broke. He's bankrupt. And then that's why they had cognitive dissonance when he paid $174 million cash bond personally. He's a billionaire. Elon Musk is a billionaire. Wealth gives you power to have influence. Influence and riches. Proverbs chapter 3. The attack against money is an attack ultimately against individual people having money and riches. A lady on YouTube said, it's not unscriptural, but more importantly, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's like saying eating's important, but more importantly, breathing. You don't pick parts of the Bible. It's all in here for a reason. I think it's more important to be saved than to be healed. You're going to find out healing is equally important if you want to do anything on the earth. Because if your body won't get out of bed, you can't do anything for the Lord. If you don't have money, you can't do anything for the Lord. You know, it might shock you that this big, beautiful ballroom that we're meeting in was not donated to us to use because the Sheraton has a great burden to reach the lost. And found out a preacher came from the East Coast to pray for the sick and wanted to do everything in their power to help. And we couldn't in any way in good conscience charge a minister. I'm paying them what everybody else pays. So if you like to just spout out stupid, even neutral, not just anti-money, neutral money speak. Yes, that's true. But more importantly, shut up. You're the reason we're in the shape we're in. You're the reason you're getting your hat handed to you by every organization and political group that hates the church because of your little nonchalant view about money. I feel those things are important, but most important is prayer. They're not different things. They're all things in the Bible for the believer. So here's the kind of stuff I've been seeing posted. If we teach people to give in order to get, we are catering to carnality and preaching a dangerous, unbiblical message. Turn to Luke 6:38. So then Jesus should have been reprimanded. Hopefully, Michael Brown will have a chance to pull Jesus aside and tell him, if you teach people to give in order to get, you're teaching a dangerous, unbiblical message. Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Give, and who shall receive? Give, and you shall receive. If we teach people to give to get, we're teaching a dangerous, unbiblical message. Jesus said that word for word. Is it only there? Or did Paul requote it? 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Not just all you need. And it doesn't say the church will have plenty left over to share with others. It said you will have everything you need. And you will have plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, Nick, this is starting to cut. The mic's cutting out of the monitor now or going flat like there's a limiter. They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched. Now, if you're following this teaching out of the Bible, I want you to write in the comments, enriched. Write the word enriched in all caps. You will be enriched in every way. It's talking about spiritual enrichment. No, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they'll joyfully express their thanks to God. So the Bible clearly taught, and I could, you know, I'm not looking to preach for an hour and a half. That's not like two scriptures I could find on the subject. In fact, I'll give you one more. Go to 1 Timothy 6. The scripture that people think people like me don't know. It's not that I don't know it. It's that I read the entire chapter where you read part of the chapter. 1 Timothy 6. False teaching and true riches. Verse 6. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great gain. See, people think guys like me don't know. They're always talking about increase. The Bible says we're to be content. You know, you can be two things at once. The Bible teaches that if you steward money properly, you'll increase. So I increase. I'm not waking up this morning driven to find a way to start a side business, and I'm not doing that. I'm teaching now. I'm going to preach tonight. The money comes in effortlessly, like the Bible says. The blessing of the Lord makes a man rich, and it adds no sorrow. It's struggle-free, stress-free increase. I'm very content. Yeah, somebody said, I heard John MacArthur teach on giving on Dr. Michael Brown's show, and it's not different from what I hear Pastor Jonathan say. You know why? Because even when people say they're against prosperity, as they start going against it, if they know the Bible at all, they still, at some point in the middle of their message, have to say. Now, I'm not saying that the Bible doesn't say it'll prosper you. Okay, so what is it? Why don't you get it figured out? I've said this before, and I want to say it again. I would like I'm not going to respond to any minister from now on that talks against prosperity, if you direct it at me, unless you also, with what you write, will list what you make as a salary personally. Because you're going to find that these guys that don't believe in personal enrichment, supposedly, apparently they believe in it when they talk to their board of directors about what their yearly salary is going to be. John MacArthur takes about $1 million a year in salary. I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with it if you're going to tell people that money's not for you, it's for the kingdom, and you have three homes and $1 million salary. You can't do that. It's wrong. You know, they find out he's wearing a $4,000 watch. Well, that's okay. That amount of watch is okay for a man that's his age. Oh, yeah, where's the chart that correlates how valuable a watch can be that someone owns based on age? You made that up to defend your guy. True godliness with contentment is great wealth. That's what people don't understand. You could be content and increasing. I'm not increasing because I'm discontent with what I have. I'm increasing because, A, God's laws work automatically when you do your part of the covenant. And so I'm basically just facilitating what God's going to do, and very, very content. Do you guys have the tire clip ready? Okay, I haven't seen this yet. If you need a little time, you can take time. But this was a couple that waited after to talk to me at church. In fact, I think the wife's on now. They never had gone to church. It's interesting the different responses with people. So they heard me teach on tithing, and they have a tire video or a tire company. And they said, let's tithe the tires that we have in the company. So the guy, young guy, and waits for me after church and says, we'd like to put 4 new tires on your vehicle. Now, you would think a young couple that's just starting to go to church would hear about tithing and riches. John said, define what riches means. What riches means is what God said riches mean to Abraham. And God made Abram, Genesis 13:2, God made Abram very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. Deuteronomy 8, it talks about houses, land, livestock. It's talking about material wealth. The blessing of God is more than material wealth, but it includes material wealth. Yes, Ashley, there you are. This was so touching to me because you would think a young couple, how old are you, Ashley? I know women don't like to be asked their age, but tough luck. You would think a young couple new to church would see a pastor driving a Cadillac Escalade. talking about tithing and say, screw this guy, I'm leaving. Let alone to stay and then say, you know what? I believe what's in the Bible. Let's put new tires on his Cadillac. See, that the difference in people is the difference in their decisions. So I haven't watched this before, but this testimony touched me, and I'll give you a peek into what I'm talking about. Go ahead and roll it.
My name's Ashley, and this is my husband, Bill. We're local in Coraopolis, and we never went to church before, but we just really felt a call to get to a church. So I started to pray, just, God, show me a church. Where can I go to hear the word?
I zoned out. Why did she? They don't go to church. They started to pray, Lord, show me a church. See, that's an answer to our prayers in the afternoon. What's waking? That's not the first person that's come to church and said something like that. Go ahead. Play from the beginning.
My name's Ashley, and this is my husband, Bill. We're local in Coraopolis, and we never went to church before, but we just really felt a call to get to a church. So I started to pray, just, God, show me a church. Where can I go to hear the word? And the girl that does my hair actually told me about Revival Today. So I looked it up, and first we just kind of played
it
in the living
room. Because I zoned out after the first part. I want to hear the whole testimony of why she started going to church. That is amazing to me, that someone that doesn't go to church and their husband would just start saying to God, I want, you know, that's an awakening in the country. That when you hear that word awakening tossed around, that's what it means. That's a great testimony, Ashley. You speak very well. Play it.
My name's Ashley, and this is my husband, Bill. We're local in Coraopolis, and we never went to church before, but we just really felt a call to get to a church. So I started to pray, just, God, show me a church. Where can I go to hear the word? And the girl that does my hair actually told me about Revival Today. So I looked it up, and first we just kind of played it in the living room. And my husband wasn't necessarily really like open, didn't want to go to a church. So I just slowly introduced it, had Jonathan just screaming through the house. And slowly, you know, I came to church first by myself. And then the next week, you know, I didn't want to pressure him. And I just prayed, like, God, just change his heart, just touch him. And that Saturday he texted me and said, hey, I really want to come to church with you. He made that decision himself. And then we came. And if you want to just talk about the opportunity with the tires.
Absolutely. I own a tire company. After coming in November, I opted to tithe some tires to the pastor here. I was believing in an opportunity that the business would triple, hopefully quadruple, and I'll tell you what, things have never been better. All I can do is thank God, thank the church, thank Pastor Jonathan for giving us that opportunity, my family and I. Nothing's been better. So,
that is an awesome testimony. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Ashley. Make sure somebody takes a note of this. Every ministry vehicle that needs tires, including my personal vehicle and Adonis' vehicle, make sure it gets there. And unless we just put brand new tires on a vehicle, send everybody there to get tires this week. Because that's amazing to me. And you heard him say that God's already tripled the business since they did that. So it's not like I'm trying to like, hey, we give you tires and our business went down the toilet. So I'm trying to bail them out. I respect that, because that's actually the exact opposite mentality. Okay, so put Michael Brown's tweet up again. If we teach people to give in order to get, we are catering to carnality and preaching a dangerous, unbiblical message. Okay, back to me. So there's nowhere in the Bible that says give and you shall receive. There's nowhere in the Bible where it talks about when you sow, you will reap. What you sow, you will reap. When you think of this. When you tell people that when you give, it's wrong to expect anything to come back to you, then you have to take that same concept through the whole Bible. That would be like telling people, now when you sin, you can't expect any kind of harm to come to you. It just comes to the kingdom of hell. No, when you sow unto the flesh, you reap corruption under your own flesh. And when you sow unto the Spirit, you reap personally a harvest. Can I write that down? Because that just came to my spirit. That's from God. That ain't from me. If it's wrong to teach that sowing money doesn't produce a personal harvest, then it's wrong to teach that sowing, participating in sin, produces personal harm. Just to put a bow on 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from these evil things. Sorry, let me go up one. Verse 9. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. That's true. I don't believe in prosperity and then come to that verse and go, well, I'm not going to read that. I've seen that. I've seen people that started off in evangelism and because they would not learn how to get money God's way and weren't content with where they're at. I didn't get a jet because I was discontent with a car. Father, it's not right. I claim a car. I claim a jet. I claim a jet. I shouldn't have to, if other people have a jet, I should be able to have a jet. Never one time. As the ministry grew, and as we continued to sow, God increased. I did believe for one, but I never had a discontent. I'm telling you, if a jet never came my way. Did I do less for the Lord when I didn't have the jet? I just drove. If they took the car away, I'd walk. Lord, until you give me a jet, I'm not going to serve you. It's not right. Why did you send an angel to my room to call me into the ministry and you won't give me a jet to fly to where I'm going? I mean, I never did that. Couldn't have been any more content. If you would ever be around me, I'm extremely content. I'm overly content. I have trouble leaving the room I'm staying in. I don't have any desires, really, you know, except to preach. So if you do, you know, I would have pierced, and I won't keep you on here that long, but I believe this teaching will really help you if you listen to it. Now, if I had said, now I made up my mind, I'm going to fly privately. In fact, I've told you the story before that one time a lady asked me, how much does it cost to fill your SUV up with gasoline? Or if you're watching overseas, petrol. And I didn't know the price because I never looked. So I said, let me finish gassing up and I'll tell you how much. Because she was curious. And when I said, I don't know how much it costs because I haven't looked, the Lord said, and so it'll be one day with a plane. And until that day, don't do it. The day will come where I'll make it as easy for you to fly private as it is for you to gas up this vehicle. You won't even think about it and you won't look. And until then, don't try to get ahead of me. And so when people long to be rich, see, if I just made up my mind back in 2017, Rodney Howard Brown's flying, Jesse Duplantis is flying, God doesn't love me any less than he loves them. I'm going to step out in faith and get a jet. It'd be a problem. I could turn into one of those preachers that's trying to beat an offering out of people for an hour and a half and hit the road to pay for the jet. But I didn't do that. So that's what this verse is talking about. But it doesn't end there. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Very true. Not all people, some people. And I want you to write another thing in the comments. You can have money without loving it. That's what anti-prosperity people somehow don't seem to understand. These guys talking about their jets and the wealth. Bible says the love of money. You can have something without loving it. I enjoy this Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I don't love it. I've never written it a poem. I've never pledged my life to it. I don't snuggle it in the sheets next to me at bed. I have it. I'm glad I have it. If someone took it from me or if the Lord told me, I feel like you've become too attached to that, I want you to throw it away. I would go throw it away. It's not a problem. I don't have a soul tie to this iced coffee. I don't know what I'd do without you. You've been there for me, even when my own family hasn't been there for me. So I can have something without loving it. Not a difficult concept to understand. But you, Timothy, are, but notice the chapter doesn't end there. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from these evil things. And instead, pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you've declared so well before many witnesses. Now, for the sake of time, verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. So it doesn't say, now remember, again, I'm just going to reiterate, anyone that gets rich becomes proud and trusts in their money. No. And he didn't say, teach those that are rich to give all their money to the church. Teach those that are rich not to become proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Anybody that does currency trading knows that. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. So write down, riches gives me the ability to do good works and be generous to those in need, which is a joy. It's the joy of having money. It's to be able to change people's lives, to be an answer to people's prayers. Every morning, anybody that's a part of this ministry is the answer to 5,000 children's prayers and their mother's prayers. Give us our bread, our daily bread. And then as you make God's thing happen, God makes your thing happen. Now, I don't know why that's... I feel like people pretend not to understand it, because I don't know how you couldn't. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Then God will give you everything you need for your enjoyment. Not everything you need to survive, everything you need for your enjoyment. So God's not against you enjoying. And that's where I've seen the attack come. It's almost like anti-prosperity people realize scripturally they can't argue against the poverty because God, poverty's a curse. So now they've shifted it to God doesn't want you to have, you know, these op, yes, I'm for God blessing people, but not these opulent lifestyles. You know what's happened? And I want you to hear me. I know I've been talking a long time, but don't miss this part. The same way churches, when they introduced, didn't fight against it and actually facilitated it. Now, that's not what's being introduced right now. What's being introduced is a communist, satanic view about money to get people to go on universal basic income and go to central bank digital currency. And the same way churches facilitated this, it's like they're facilitating in their preaching. It's like they're echoing from the pulpit the anti-wealth rhetoric of the world. Let me see Michael Brown's tweet. It's an evidence of it. And I was feeling that way anyway. And then I started to see lots of stuff like this. If we teach people to give in order to get, we are catering to carnality and preaching a dangerous, unbiblical message. Back to me. Ashley and her husband gave to get. They said, let's tie these tires and believe for God to triple our business. And you know what? They tied the tires. It's been like 6 weeks and God's tripled their business. So apparently God didn't have a problem with it. Now, let me ask you another question. What happened? What happened when their business tripled? Now we couldn't get the testimony because they don't go to church anymore because God tripled, they tithed, God tripled their business, and they went back into the world and spent it all on cocaine. Is that what the testimony was? No. Now they waited after for me. They're in church. They're faithful to church because there is something about working with God with your money in the covenant where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Anybody that goes to a church that tithes and offerings their way to a high level, you never have to chase them down for faithfulness. They realize that that was where the blessing came from. Let me see the tweet again. If we teach people to give in order to get, we're catering to carnality and preaching a dangerous, unbiblical message. If we encourage them to give generously to God's work, telling them as they do, he will supply their needs and enable them to give more, we're on scriptural ground. Yes, you are on scriptural ground to say that, but you're not on unbiblical ground, Dr. Brown, if you tell people that when they give, they'll personally receive. And that God also does not have a problem with his children being blessed. Not only does he not have a problem with his children being blessed, you can bring it back to me. He's for his children having more than enough. Psalm 23, 5. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. See, this teaching stirs something up in the spirit. There's a lady named Marion. What's this in all caps on your arm? It's called a watch. The little hand is called the hour hand. And then the big hand is called the minute hand. Then there's a tiny one that goes around that tracks seconds. And then this one has an extra feature where it tells you the day and the date. So they were invented like in the 1400s, I think. And then you can wear, and then they put a strap so that you can keep it. Oh, in the olden days, they had them as a pocket watch, and you'd have like a little slot on your vest and keep it there, and then you'd pull it out and check the time. But then they developed where you just have it on your wrist so you can go like this, and you don't have to pull it out of the pocket. So anyway, if you want to Google it, it's W-A-T-C-H. Watch. The T's silent. You've probably seen them on walls before. They're called clocks, and then they just made them smaller and put a strap on them so that you can have it on. So that way, if you're like me, I move around a lot, so I'm not always like where there's a set wall where I can tell time. So then that way, I don't have to take the whole wall with me. They shrunk it down and then have it where you can like strap it to your arm. Anyway, I'll teach on that another day. So turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. Put Michael Brown's tweet back up again. I want to deal with the second part of it, and then I'll leave you alone until tonight. If we encourage people to give generously to God's work, telling them that as they do, he will supply their needs and enable them to give more, we're on scriptural ground. Do you know what that implies that I don't like? That the only reason God increases you is so you can give more to his kingdom. Now, would it be more beneficial for me as a preacher to tell you that the only reason God increases you is so you can give to the kingdom? Yes, absolutely. It would be very self-serving for me to tell you that. But it's not scriptural. God actually, in fact, we already read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God gives seed to the sower, and what's the other thing that he gives? Bread to the eater. So he actually, there's things that God gives me that I'm to give, but there's also things that God gives me that are for me to eat. I'm not to give all my money away, and I'm not even just to have my needs met. Because 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, you'll be enriched in all things. God will give you, meet your needs, and give you things to enjoy. I want you to write that down, to enjoy. Matthew 7:11, if you fathers being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to all who ask? Now, if somebody was here at the table with me, like let's say, and I'm not going to put words in Dr. Michael Brown's mouth. Who knows what he would say? But let's say he said, now, Jonathan, I'm not against people being poor. I didn't write that. Or I'm not for people being poor. But I think we both can agree. Like if somebody said this to me right now, I think we both can agree that some people have taken this too far and live too opulently. No, I don't agree. It's none of my business how somebody spends your money. spends their money, and it's none of your business how somebody spends their money. So like these websites, like Preachers with Sneakers, how can a preacher ever spend $1,000 on sneakers? How you do it is you take $1,000 and you go to the shoe store and you spend it on sneakers. That's somebody's, if somebody wants to do that, they can do that. Yeah, but I bet he must be stealing money. So really, you're so dumb economically, you think the only way to come up with $1,000 is by stealing it? You've never heard of options trading? You've never heard of, you know, believe it or not, I know this is hard to understand if you're a moron, but you can actually do things with your money that increase money. You can invest money. In fact, Jesus told a parable where the man that took the money he was given and invested it and quickly doubled it was rewarded, and the man who buried it was punished. See, even that is a form of communism being introduced into the population. Why would anybody spend that much money on a watch? Why would anybody spend $2,000 on a sweater? Okay, what is the amount you're allowed to spend on a sweater? What's the amount? What is the amount that's too much to spend on a sweater? I'm not a big sweater guy. So this is not about being pro or anti sweater. If somebody had $21,000 in the bank and wanted to go to the sweater store and buy 10 $2,000 sweaters, or if they made one $21,000 sweaters that was hand-knitted by Betsy Ross, whatever, they're free to do that. Why are you criticizing what people do with their money? It's none of your business. It's not your money. If it was made illegal, or if they made it illegally, yes, they should go to jail. If it was not made illegally, see, this is why we need to increase taxes. Oh, yeah. That's what you think the solution is? You feel that the money would be better used being taxed and spent by the federal, shipped to Ukraine, shipped to Iran, where actually we're buying weapons for both countries? You like that. You're an idiot. See, that's why you can tell it's a demonic communistic thing. Because you notice, why does Stephen Furtick have a $2,000 sweater? This is why churches need to be taxed. First of all, dumb, it wasn't bought with tax money. It was bought with personal money. Why does he have money? Does the head of the Red Cross draw a salary? Does the head of Easter Seals draw a salary? Does nobody that work in any other nonprofits draw a salary? No, they draw huge salaries. So why is it just one nonprofit, churches and pastors, that are criticized for money? Because the devil hates the church. And unfortunately, you have Christian leaders that, without knowing it, hate the church, or at least parroting the same viewpoints as people that hate the church. Talking you back from money, which I've already shown you a zillion times. It's not like there's a problem in the church that everyone's become rich. They're demographically fifth from the bottom. Full gospel Christians are some of the most money adverse people you'll ever meet. Absolutely dysfunctional when it comes to money. And the way these people talk, you'd think everybody was just like making money hand over fist. They're totally impoverished. I've shown you before. Let me see Dr. Brown's tweet again. If we teach people to give in order to get, we're catering to carnality and preaching a dangerous unbiblical message. No, we're not. If we encourage them to give generously to God's work, telling them as they do, he will supply their needs and enable them to give more, we're on scriptural ground. That's it. That's the only two purposes of money, is to meet your need and you give. So that you can, just your needs met. Toothpaste, toothbrush. You don't need shoes. Half the world's barefoot. I mean, what do you really need, Abraham? What does somebody need to live? If they're like in the bush, what do they need? You need one. You don't need a shirt. You need. It would be good to have pants or shorts, but I don't even know if that's. If you're talking need, what do you need? You need a meal every 3 days or so. No, I'm not saying that. No, that is what you said. You said need, and then anything above need is for you to give to the work of the Lord. Okay, I have a problem. 2 Kings, and you actually have a problem. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. One day the widow of a member of the group of the prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take away my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil," she replied. Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors, then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled." So she did as she was told. Her and her sons kept bringing jars, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another chair," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more." Then the oil stopped flowing. Verse 7, listen to this. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the oil and do what with it? Pay your debts and then give the rest to me to build the kingdom of God. No, then you and your sons can live on what's left." That's a whole financial miracle that was done only to pay off someone's debt and only so a woman and her sons could live. How many know anything God gives us, it's not for us, it's for the kingdom? Shut up. Because you don't even believe that. You got preachers telling you that. They all have bank accounts and stuff. Why do you criticize prosperity preachers? They're actually the only ones that are honest. I tell you what watch I have. I do take a salary. I've shown you my plane ad nauseum on Instagram. I'm not hiding the blessing of God. I don't believe, yes, I believe God wants to bless us. How many of us can agree that God wants to bless us, but it's wrong to tell people that he wants to make them rich? Proverbs 10:22, extremely difficult scripture to interpret for people. The blessing of the Lord makes a man rich, not makes the kingdom rich through the man, makes the man rich. That's what it says. Blessing of the Lord makes a man rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Yes, but Jonathan, what kind, when the Bible says rich, what does it actually mean? Good question. Let's see if there's some answer somewhere mysteriously. Genesis 13:2. When God blessed Abraham, well, let's read 12:1-3 first. Genesis 12:1-3. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you. And I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others." I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing. There's a dual purpose in the blessing. It's not all to be a blessing. God, believe it or not, very difficult for the religious mind to understand. God actually loves you. God actually wants to bless you. You're not a means to an end to feed orphans or to build churches. God actually sent Jesus didn't die on the cross so I could build churches for him. He died on the cross to redeem me and have a relationship with me through the blood of his son. He doesn't stop caring about me after I receive Christ as my savior. That's the beginning of our relationship. I'll bless you. And how did he bless him? One chapter later, Abram was not rich. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. Not in joy, peace, and gentleness. He didn't have an abundance of gentleness. He did have those things. But when the Bible says rich and that God blessed him, it's talking about the material wealth part of the Bible. You know why the devil fights that so hard? Because you ain't renting this place for a week with your needs met. If I believed God to meet my needs, then there's no this. If I'm believing God to meet the needs of our ministry, it's not a need of our ministry to come. I don't have a church in Los Angeles. In the natural, in the flesh, what do I care about anybody in LA? I live in Pittsburgh. Tough luck. Have the pastors here take care of it. You're not going into all the world and preaching the gospel with your needs met. That's why Jesus actually said, "Tell your master the things you've seen, the proof that he's the Messiah. The blind see, the deaf hear, the crippled walk, the lepers are cleansed." And what's number 5? The poor are having the gospel preached to them. It actually takes an anointing to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, we're taking care of everybody's parking all week now. We should have done it from the beginning. I didn't know about it. That takes excess. Or it'll hinder the amount of people that come to hear the gospel being preached. So actually, anytime you hear a minister trying to just get, no, it's not all about how much we have, amen. It's about our needs being met. No, that's somebody trying to turn you into a non-factor. Somebody is going to get wealthy. If the church rejects it, then the wealth that's in the world is going to be controlled by people who hate God, hate you, hate your children, and hate the family, and hate the church, hate righteousness. And if you allow that, like they have in Canada, like they have in Europe, and it's not happening while I'm here. I'll keep sowing the word in this area, and I don't care who wants to mouth off about it. Doesn't make any difference to me. I'm not going to see America turn to Canada or turn to Europe where they've raised up people who are anti-wealth. I'm not going to see them make our generation all go on disability and have free medical marijuana and antidepressants and get a $1,200 universal basic income check. By the way, in the comments, how many idiot Christians did you hear in 2020? Hey, they're telling us to shut down the church, but the government's going to send the church money and take care of our payroll. That's called communism. For you not to work and the government to send you money, which is just people's money. The government doesn't have any money. And if you get people to stop producing money, then there's no money in the till. And that's why Venezuela, when it introduces communism, it's awesome. It's always great till you run out of other people's money. Then when business owners keep getting punished, like is happening in New York City as we speak, that people are fleeing to Florida and West Virginia and on down the line. You guys can't get from me, can you? That clip of Kevin O'Leary talking on CNN or MSNBC. I played on Check the News before, where he's talking about how every investor is fleeing New York because of them seizing Trump's assets. Let me ask you a question. If they're going to give me $1,200 a month universal basic income to stay home and not work, or I can train, get a job, work, and make $8,000 a month. But by the time they get done taxing me to pay for all the people that are home smoking weed and playing Xbox and having babies because they ran out of the, you get a credit for every child you have out of wedlock. I mean, if there is anything socially engineered to destroy a country, why are you rewarding people financially for having children with no father and then take the money away if they get married? Tell me that's not a design to destroy people in the inner city, particularly black people. And that gets no pushback. But then you're going to push back when somebody tells you that you can take the first tenth of what you have and give an offering to the Lord, and the Lord will anoint your head with oil and cause your cup of blessings. Psalm 23:5 in the New Living Translation. He anoints my head with oil. My cup of blessing overflows. So if I have a choice, if I'm a normal person, and I can sit home and not work and get $1,200 from the government, or I can make $8,000 a month, and when they get done taxing me, I have $1,200 or $1,300. Am I going to go through all that crap? Am I going to work a 65-hour week to make 100 more bucks than somebody that stays home and gets assistance? No, I'm not. And that's how you collapse a country. And that's not God's way of doing things. And when you teach people God's way of doing things, the world doesn't like it. And then you even have to deal with moronic church leaders. I mean, no, God wants us to have our needs met. And that's, no, he doesn't. He wants us in Proverbs 3 to have influence and honor. And it's tied with wealth. The only reason Donald Trump is able to do anything he's doing is because of his own private money. They'd have shut him down. Elon Musk. And they're looking for a way to seize the money right now. Without money, you are a zero factor in the world. You'll just post on Facebook, can you believe what the liberals are doing? You know, you can get 9 likes and 1 comment. You're not doing anything. It takes money to do something. And as this is getting introduced, it's interesting. My book on healing came out right before COVID came out, and this came out before this attack. 35 questions for those who hate the prosperity gospel. Question 16. Is it hypocritical to speak against prosperity while enjoying lavish American luxury? What was the other one? I'm going to read one of them to you. They're short chapters. Question 18. Does good stewardship not lead to increase? Let me read 75 to you. If you think good stewardship leads to financial decrease, then you should remove the entire book of Proverbs from your Bible. Wisdom leads to wealth. I want you to write that down in the comments, and it'll help you remember it. Divine wisdom leads to divine wealth. Proper management leads to wealth. It's a Bible principle. If you are a good steward of what God gives you, increase follows. This is not a difficult concept to understand, yet somehow many ministers and Christians get tripped up on this. When I came out of Bible college, I was on fire for the Lord. I wanted to get the whole world saved. Many new ministers are like that. When they first come out of Bible school, they're excited and their passion for the kingdom of God is on fire. The first major obstacle they hit is the lack of financial resources needed to do the ministry they desire. When facing this economic reality, they have three possible choices. The first option is to quit. The second choice is to alter their vision and lower their dreams. And the third and hardest option is to press in and receive revelation from God. When this test happens, it's important to be faithful in handling the harvest that comes in. The more faithful you are in handling what you have, the more you'll be given. That's a direct scripture. The more faithful you are with your money, more will be given to you. God likes what I'm doing with the money in the ministry and personally. He likes that when somebody first gave $1 million to our ministry in 2016, 520,000 of the million went out. Do you know what I could have done? I could have immediately built myself a $700,000 home, which in 2016 in Pittsburgh would have been a, you could build quite a home for that. San Diego, you would get nothing. But Pittsburgh, you could do that. And it would all been legal. It would have been a parsonage by the ministry. I could have taken care of myself. And you know what I told the Lord? I said, I'm going to show you something. When you give me $1 million, I'm going to be a channel that the million flows through. And as I've done that, more got entrusted and more got entrusted. The book of Proverbs, the entirety of the book of Proverbs is dealing with proper stewardship leads to increase. Improper stewardship leads to decrease. Consider the ant thou sluggard. He has no prince or ruler to drive him to labor, yet works hard. So why sit you, O sluggard, and sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. The Bible clearly teaches poverty is a reward for not operating in God's principles, and wealth is a reward from operating according to the principles of God. It's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible once or twice. It's whole books of the Bible, like Proverbs. Let me read one more, and then I'll leave you alone. Promise. This is my book, 35 Questions for Those Who Hate the Prosperity Gospel, and I'm going to send it to everybody who gives today to stand with us as we do this meeting in Los Angeles. Question 16. Is it hypocritical? 35 questions for those who hate the prosperity gospel. Is it hypocritical to speak against prosperity while enjoying lavish American luxury? When I hear an American criticize the prosperity message, like Dr. Michael Brehm, this would apply. This is what I think when I hear it. Because you can't tell me, I know of Dr. Michael Brehm. We've interacted on Twitter. I heard him absolutely abolish an opponent in a debate in New York. He's intelligent. Don't tell me that he only has his needs met. I don't know that he has rental property personally. I'd be stunned if he doesn't. I'd be stunned if he doesn't have an abundance of money in an account. Maybe I'm wrong. He's not an idiot. So when I hear an American criticize the prosperity message, okay, now take Dr. Michael Brehm out of this. I know I'm listening to a liar and a hypocrite. I won't call them out by name because I'm not against people. I'm for people, even enemies, even people that hate me. As someone with a father who's been in the ministry for 40 years and myself for 17 years when I wrote this, people who criticize the prosperity message often live better materially than the preachers they criticize. They just hide it. Do you think it's hypocritical to write a book, bash prosperity, and earn millions of dollars from it? I would feel like a hypocrite. You say, I don't believe in prosperity, but you're already living in prosperity. The average person on planet Earth drives an ox cart. That's a fact. Do you know that? If the Earth was 100 people, Americans would be 4 of them. Asia would be 60. The average person on planet Earth drives an ox cart. That's a fact. For you who live in America, Europe, or Canada, and say you don't believe in prosperity, it's absurd. I'd like to see your home. I'd like to know if you have electricity and air conditioning. I'd love to see whether you walk or ride a bicycle. The next person I meet who attacks prosperity while living in poverty as they preach will be the first one I've ever met. The next person I meet who attacks prosperity while living in poverty as they preach will be the first one I've ever met. I've never seen anybody attack the prosperity message that doesn't have prosperity. Well, Jesus didn't drive a Cadillac. He didn't have a Ford or a truck either. If you believe what you tell others, you should be riding a donkey to church on Sunday. Jesus used the best transportation of his day because he had a well-functioning brain. He would do the same thing today. If there's a mode of transportation that can get you somewhere in 50 minutes and another mode of transportation that takes 30 hours, you don't have to pray about which one to use. Jesus didn't drive a nice car. He also didn't drive a bad car like the one you have either. You're still a hypocrite. 35 questions for those who hate the prosperity gospel. I said something on Sunday that our church is going to be the richest church, and we're already in the top 2% of all nonprofits in the United States of America. We'll hit number one before long because anything you attack, you lose, but whatever you speak for, you attract to your life. I have a plan for money. There's no amount you could give me right now that I would say, wow. I'd buy up television networks. I would, the more money that comes into my hand, the more of a voice the gospel's going to have in the planet. It's a great time to be alive. They just sold the largest skyscraper in St. Louis, Missouri for $3.2 million. It sold for 200 and some million before, in 2006. So you got real estate going up for pennies on the dollar. If the church will make up its mind, let's make it personal. If you'll make up your mind that I'm not going the poverty route, I'm not going the communist route. Father, the same way you blessed Abraham, I'm going to dive into your word. I'm going to have you speak to me about how the wisdom that pertains to my life, what is there to do? Because as you pray, God will give you specific instruction. My Uncle Ted called me out of the blue in 2020. If you can find a way to get check the news on the air nationally during October for the election, it will double your ministry. I did, and it did. That's godly wisdom. Then the Lord gives you other instructions. You follow him. God's instructions don't lead to decrease. They lead to increase. Yes, Jonathan, again, I don't have a problem with that. I just don't think Christians should be living luxurious lives. What's luxury to you? Because your definition of luxury and God's definition of luxury are two different things. He paves streets with gold. So you've lowered God's blessing to your mind rather than raising your mind to God's level of living. And I chose the other way because the criticism's all one way. There's no criticism for Jeffrey Epstein's jet. There's no criticism for Jeffrey Epstein having an island to molest children. There's only criticism for righteous people taking wealth out of the hands of the wicked to build the kingdom of God. And so I don't care. This is the poorest I'll ever be. And for many of you watching, this is the poorest you'll ever be. Because God's word brings increase. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for every person watching this broadcast. If you're watching and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, like Sandra when she watched my teaching on fasting and prayer. Pray this prayer with me right now. Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I repent. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Go to revivaltoday.com and click I just got saved. Revivaltoday.com, I just got saved. Fill that out completely, and I'm going to send you a Bible and other materials to help you live the Christian life. And then for the rest of you, tithing and offering does not lead to having your needs met. It leads to opulent wealth. That's why the devil fights it so hard. And soil matters. When I first got a revelation on giving, I just gave everywhere. And then I started to pay attention to the different returns that I saw at different places. Obviously, if you give to a ministry that says we don't believe in the blessing, it's gonna hurt your seed a little bit. Melchizedek didn't come to Abraham and say, hey, just so you know, you're giving me a tithe, you know, you're probably not going to have any land or anything. No, Melchizedek received the tithe and pronounced a blessing. You need to give to a place. You don't have to give to me. But where you're going to give, you better give someplace where, if you're believing for increase and giving to places that celebrate poverty and bash prosperity, it's going to jack up your seed. And when you give to a place where people come into agreement with you, I'm going to believe you're going to have the best year you've ever had. I'm going to believe that God doubles you by the end of the year. What would have happened if that couple that tithed at Revival Today Church tithed tires from his tire company to put tires on my vehicle? If he said, now listen, we're going to do this, and I'm believing that God's going to triple our business. Well, now you hold your horses there, buddy. If you want to give tires to help me drive my car to preach the gospel, that's fine. But none of us are supposed to have anything behind that. So that's that. What if I'd have said that? Hey, Jonathan, my wife and I would like to give you 4 new tires. We just got saved 2 weeks ago, and we're believing for God to triple our business. No. Be careful, brother. That's that prosperity message. Can you imagine? And that's what would have happened to them at many churches. Their childlike faith. They haven't been Christians long enough to be around some idiot to talk them out of the blessing. So with little to no teaching, something rose up in their heart. A, to tithe, and B, to expect God to do something for them as they made something happen for his kingdom. How shameful would it have been if me as a pastor, I wouldn't have just deadened their faith for that. I'd have deadened their faith for everything. Easy. God's not interested in you and your tire store. Screw you and your tire store. This is about the kingdom. This is about orphanages. Let me tell you something. God has unlimited capacity. Do you know God cares as much about their tire shop as he does the orphanage that we feed orphans through overseas? He cares about you. If Camila tells me, like she told me, I have a play coming up at school, I would love for you to come see me. Camila, shut up about your play. There's a war going on right now. No, I have capacity to know about the war, and I have capacity to love what she's interested in. God doesn't have to pick and choose. He's not limited. You're limited. He's unlimited. You want to know something? Understanding prosperity, understanding financial prosperity is rooted in understanding God's love for you. If he loved you so much that he gave his only son, why would you ever think he'd withhold anything else from you? He's going to have his son sacrificed on a cross for you. But Jonathan, that plane you have is $17,000 to fill up with fuel. That's ridiculous. He paid with the blood of his son for me. You think he cares about $17,000 worthless dollars? They're worthless. The only reason the U.S. dollar has value right now is because it's the main mode of trade in the United States. If that were to ever change, there's nothing backing the dollar. So it doesn't mean anything. Understanding God's love for you. I want you to write something in the comments. God loves me more than he loves money. God loves me more than he loves money. So there's nothing. I could tell you some stories along those lines. I'm going to tell you one. Since I already get criticized this way anyway, might as well tell you the stories I don't even tell. I don't even tell you. Jonathan, why do you tell all your stories about it? You think I tell all of them? On my birthday, I was in Las Vegas at the Wynn Casino. If you don't like this, I don't blame you. I almost didn't do it. I'm going to show you something about God. It was my birthday. I walked into the Louis Vuitton store. I was intending to get a gift for me with my money because it was my birthday. But I didn't really see anything I liked. They had a big teddy bear in the Louis Vuitton store that was made by Louis Vuitton. A big Louis Vuitton teddy bear. It was $6,800. Well, even I have limits as to what I'm willing to spend. And as much as I love Camila, I thought that was a tad pricey for a stuffed animal. It's a huge one, but still, $7,000 on a teddy bear, that's insane. I saw Camila looking at it. She didn't ask me for it. I just started looking at it. And I felt, now, if somebody wants to clip this and make me into the worst man who ever lived, knock yourself out. I felt the Lord speak to me. Your daughter loves that. Buy it for her. Okay. So I did. I bought it. The people, I said, don't wrap it. Let's go give it to her. She was sitting down in the corner next to Adonis, and all of the employees wanted to see her face light up. They all walk out and give it to her. And her face, oh, Pa, thank you for this. It wasn't my idea to give it to her. The Lord said, get it for her. Before I left the store, I paid for it with my Cash App card. Somebody sent me $5,000 for my birthday on Cash App. Another person sent me $2,500, and another person sent me $1,000. I spent $6,800 and walked out with $8,500 in 10 minutes. It was almost like, and by almost like, it was definitely like, the Lord said, I would like to bless your daughter. Please take care of it for me. You just make it happen. I'll pay for it. That's not ministry money. You'd go to jail for that, and rightfully so. I'm telling you, and things like that have made me understand how God thinks. If you delight yourself, you know, Camila delights herself in the Lord. And the Lord said, I love that kid. She wants that. I don't care how much it costs. Get it for her. And the money came in. You know, those people sent, first of all, they sent it to me. Second of all, if you go back and find them, they have stories like the tire shop people. Man, ever since we gave that, you'll never believe what God did for us. That's why everybody wins in an offering. So when people criticize opulent wealth, I don't believe that somebody should have a $5,000 watch. Well, if you got a problem with a $5,000 watch, you're going to have a major problem with a $7,000 teddy bear, I'll tell you that. But you're going to realize God actually doesn't care about money. He cares about you. And he cares about your money being in the right place. If you honor him with the tithe and offering, you are proving God continually. This money has not taken the place. I don't trust in it. I trust in you. I put you first. I put your kingdom first. And if you'll do that, all these other things will be added unto you. And I saw that happen that day for Camila. Personally, I can't prove it. I don't think that money would have come in if I didn't buy the gift for it. That was the Lord showing me. Now think of it. When I came back to Las Vegas and went to that store, they were out of those teddy bears. I said, did you guys quit carrying those? They said, no, we still have them, but we can't keep them in stock. People keep buying them. So why can a sheik fly in from Saudi Arabia and buy that for his daughter and God can't get it for his daughter? Not that sheiks don't. I'm just saying. Is God a worse father than a rich sheik? Is God, why can a man that just won $50,000 gambling go get that for his mistress and Camila can't have it? Apparently God doesn't think it's a big deal. So again, I think differently about money from stuff like that. God has tire money. God has watch money. God has teddy bear money. God has church building money. God has jet fuel money. God has jet money. God has clothing money. God is a super abundant God. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Father, I pray that every person today would enter into that dimension in Jesus' name. I pray that every person watching today would enter into that dimension of your nature, the El Shaddai, abundant nature. And in so doing, enjoy the life more abundantly that you came to give us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you the opportunity to sow seed. After telling that story, I want to be clear. That teddy bear's paid for. I'm not saying, now listen, I realize now that was a giant mistake. If we could have some people step up to the plate. I'm not raising money for my daughter's stuffed animals. I paid for that. But those that would like to sow for the gospel to go out, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And I wrote something on Twitter a little while back. Give tithes in proportion to your income. Sow seed in proportion to your dreams. Pay your tithes, 10% of your income. But your seed, you determine. How high do you want to go? I didn't give $520,000 away of my million that I was given because I felt bad about having it. I did it because I knew a million could last 1 year back then. And rather than just spend it all and be back at square one, why not put some in motion and see what happens? I'm going to send everyone who gives today our new T-shirt and my new book. T-shirt? No T-shirt? You thought that was going to be a one-day thing? No, I'm not giving that book. I'm giving this book. The one I read out of. 35 questions for those who hate the prosperity gospel. And I'm going to throw in a little T-shirt, which if you did not watch the broadcast yesterday, you may feel that I've lost my mind. Send that book and this T-shirt that's forthcoming. I went to the Stronger Men's Conference, and all I saw was a Moldovan male stripper. That is a beautiful... The only thing is, remember, we need to add the Moldovan flag at the bottom. So when you get the finished product, there'll be a Moldovan flag at the bottom, because I know that's what people want. You want to rep Moldova? Very popular nation. I love the background on the T-shirt. So there it is. I went to the Stronger Men's Conference, and all I saw, and we have Bill Johnson swapped out for John Lindell, two ministers that won't talk to me anymore, and a Moldovan former male stripper that also probably will not talk to me anymore. All I saw was a Moldovan male stripper. That's my way of saying thank you. For standing with us in the work of the Lord. Here's the ways to give. Revivaltoday.com, you click give now. If you're on Facebook, hashtag donate, and then the amount you want to give. Cash App has delisted us as part of the attack against wealth. But anytime that happens, a bunch more money comes in. Zelle, info at revivaltoday.com, Venmo at RTGive, revivaltoday.com/PayPal. Text RT to 50155. Again, everything is on revivaltoday.com, and you click give now. If you want to mail a check, good question, Kristen. Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. Then you can claim your offer on revivaltoday.com, claim my offer. If you're listening by podcast, yes, Cash App delisted us. So if you give by Cash App, you have to switch it over if you want to continue giving. They took us down. So I've ticked somebody off somewhere. But thankfully I had a ministry before Cash App. And I will still have a ministry long after Cash App is gone. Status of the credit union in process. Thank you for your giving. I believe this is going to be $1 million a week. Anytime there's been a move against our ministry like that. I like that background. It's a good memory. So if you want to splash the pot, thank you for doing so. Thank you in advance for everybody who's sewing. If you're watching the replay, still applies.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.